Shabbat Shalom.
You want a turtle?
This thing really don't like me sometimes. The feeling is mutual though. I don't like it. Yep, it's coming. Just being a little hard here. Hit it now. All right, here we go. There we go. How Yehovah is so good to us. Amen. What an honor. I'm telling you, I am pumped this morning. I am excited about his goodness. Just the songs that we sing, his favor. Listen, there's not a better feeling when Yehovah turned his face towards you. Let me tell you, knowing that he's with you wherever you go. In your weeping, in your rejoicing, you want him with you throughout your whole entire life, every single day. I was talking to Pastor this morning about the Torah. You know, all this Torah is doing, you know, people think that, you know, oh man, the Torah, you're in bondage, it's crippling you. You can't do this, you can't do that. But all it's doing is showing us our imperfections in our life. That's all it's doing. It's showing us how it's preparing us to be that ready bride that the scripture tells us that he's coming back for. To be that ready bride. That's all his Torah is doing. And this Torah with Abraham sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day, circumcised. Think about it. Sitting right there waiting for his Yehovah moment. That's what he was waiting for. He didn't let circumstances, he didn't let pain, he didn't let nothing stop him from getting that Yehovah moment. He was patiently waiting for his Yehovah moment. Think about it. This whole Abraham story, 75, he's got to leave everything that he knows. Leave family, friends, your town, everything at 75. And 24 years later, oh yeah, by the way, circumcise yourself. Come on, circumcise myself, pain, sitting. It's just, I can't imagine the unbearable pain. But yet what he did when he noticed the three men, when he looked up and seen these three men, he ran. It don't say he limped. It don't say he barely walked. He took his time. He ran to the three men. Then he ran back to the tent to his wife, to get things prepared. Then he ran to the field, to the men in the field, said, we got to get the best. He ran. He didn't wait. He ran, because listen, when Yehovah turned his face towards you, that's what you do. The urgency, you see the urgency of wanting to get, to draw closer to him. You see that urgency and how important it is that we, listen, this is an urgency time that we're living in. We need to be running. We don't need to be walking. We need to forget about everything of that, our aches and pains on the side. And we got to run because his face is turning towards us. His face has turned towards us. 5-6 years ago when he opened up our eyes to this Torah, his grace has turned towards us. Listen, I love this. I love this with every part that's in me. I don't never, ever want to go back. Never. I don't even see how you can go back when you taste his goodness. When you see it for yourself, you don't want to go back. You want more. You can't get enough of this. 3 days a week for us is not enough. This is not enough. But we can get this also at our throughout the whole week on our own at our house. This is his set apart time for us to come and gather and get it. I'm telling you, this thing gets a hold on you and you get beside yourself sometimes. I get excited. This is wonderful to me. I can't wait for my turn. This is my opportunity. This is my moment. I don't never want to miss my moment. You want to do Wednesday night? Yes. Can you do Friday night if I'm not there? Yes. Can you do Saturday morning? Yes. Absolutely, I can, without a doubt. Before, there used to be a doubt, and I ran from it. I doubted him. I doubted his goodness. I doubted what he could do in my life. And how dare we? How dare we? It's like I put restraints on him, on his power, on his mercy, on his arm. I was talking with Brother Chad this morning, how he says, you know, we think sometimes people are too far gone. And he was talking about fishing. He was talking about how sometimes you got to get that fish out of the, he was trying to explain to the customer, you can't yank so hard. You got to finesse it. You got to just finesse it. Listen, that's what Yehovah does. Listen, we want to yank hard at loved ones, you know? And sometimes we put restraints on, you know, that he can't rescue them. He rescued me. And I was no different. I'm no different from this one, that one, you, no different at all. If he rescued me, he can definitely rescue you because I was in bondage, serious bondage. No difference. And he rescued me. Listen, don't yank them loved ones. Just finesse them. Let them. Listen, when they come out from in all the chaos in the middle of the well, let them take the line. Let them go. Don't let them fight. They gonna get tired. I told him that. I said, it was just no different from me. Listen, Yehovah's string don't never pop. I don't care how far you run. You can run. You can go. It don't get short. It never runs out. It's long. But when you get tired of being where you at, living the life you living, he'll finesse you. He'll reel you in slowly and say, now I got you, my son, my daughter. Now I got you. Now follow me. Follow my Torah. And watch me. Watch the favor I put on your life. Oh, boy, I'm excited. We got to get started because we ain't never going to get finished. This stuff is good. This stuff gets on you. Look, this is what happens when you meditate on the Torah day and night. When you go to bed thinking about it and you wake up thinking about it, you can't help but to get excited about it. You love it. You love it. He's so good. Let me read the title slides for those that wasn't here last night. It's our Torah teachings, understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes. And his Vayera is Hebrew for, and he appeared. And he appeared to Abraham at that tent door. Genesis 18, 1 through 22, 24, and 2 Kings 4, 1 through 37. And the half Torahs, again, is for us to do in our own studies. Hopefully we're doing this awesome. They really are. Pastor didn't get very far last night. He left a lot for me. And I'm so thankful when he leaves a lot for me. So thankful. So in Hebrew, we left off right here. And look, this is so powerful. Pay close attention to these couple of slides that we're starting off with. Pay close attention. Because just the little slight, the little turn, and you could be going from looking at something good to be looking at something evil. And they both spelt the same. Watch it. In Hebrew, the word that is translated as evil is based on the root word ra, Strong's 87451, meaning bad, evil, wicked, and harmful. This word is often expressed in the feminine as ra'a, Strong's 87451, as in Proverbs 22:3, a clever one foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple go on and are punished. The simple goes on and are punished. In Hebrew, the phrase that is translated here as foresees evil is ra'a and ra'a. Notice the two spellings. See the resh Then, but look in the middle. The race and the hay are the same, the first and the end are the same words. But look in the middle. The iron and the olive. Pay close attention. Stay with me. And it's interesting to take note of how these two words phonetically sound the same, yet have different meanings. They sound the same, but they have different meanings. Ra'eh and ra'ah. The Hebrew word translated as for seeds in the root is the root word ra'ah, Strong 7200, meaning to see, look, observe, pay close attention, consider, appear, provide, observe, discern, and distinguish. Listen, Abraham at that door, he was paying close attention. He was observing, he was looking, he was watching, waiting for his Yehovah moment to appear. And look, it didn't appear. Your Yehovah moment ain't going to come when everything is going lovely. That's what we want. We want it to come when everything is going smooth. Listen, Brother Chad came talk to me this morning. I'm so glad that he came, the little 10 minutes we talked, because there's things he was saying that it was just clicking to me. He said, you know, think about that moment. They could have been, him and his wife could have been having a drop down like argument at that moment. You know, you don't know what I'm dealing with, Sarah. I just went through all this circumcision at 99 years old. You ain't got nothing cooked. I'm hungry. I'm sitting in the heat at the front of this door right here. I'm sitting here. You in the back. Yeah. Sometimes you're not going to wash them clothes. Whatever. He could have missed his Yehovah moment because of himself, because of self. How many times we missed our Yehovah moment because of ourself? When we should have been looking, observing, paying close attention, sitting at the door. He read to me in the book of Jasher. It says he was enjoying the sun. Listen, it's a proven fact that there's healing in the sun. Yehovah put healing in the sun. You need sun. You need it. It brings vitamins to your body. It brings healing to your body. Said he was enjoying the sun in the book of in Jasher. The Hebrew root word that is translated as evil is the adjective ra'ah. Ra'eh. Ra'ah is with the olive. The Hebrew root word that is translated as evil is the adjective ra'ah, ra, Strong's 874-51, meaning bad, evil, and wicked, and harmful. It comes from the root verb ra'eh, Strong's 874-89, which means to be evil, bad, to act wickedly. Think about it. If you're acting wickedly, what does that mean? You're acting foolishly. Don't act foolishly. Practice evil, work calamity, do harm, be displeasing. Listen, you don't want to hang around with that type of person. You don't want to be hanging around with a displeasing person. Someone who's, you know, practicing evil and acting wickedly and foolishly and doing harm. That's not the person you want to be with. But that is that the person we should write off? See, we put a mark through that person, said he's done. That person's finished. That's when we get ourselves in trouble because we're putting restrictions on the creator of the universe. You're putting restrictions on his hand. Is that my hand too short? Is my hand too short to reach out and touch him and finesse him like I finessed you and bring him in like I brought you in? That's what we do. That's what we do. We give up on people easily, quickly, so quickly. The difference between ra'ah, evil, wickedness, shepherd, and ra'eh, see, observe, pay attention, is the middle letter, with evil containing the letter. The ayin and to see contains the letter aleph. If we are not looking to our good shepherd, then we may be in danger of looking to evil. That's how the little, any little slight of turn. That's how easy. Both spell the same. Both look the same. But the only way you're going to know if we look into our good shepherd, if we ain't got our eyes on him, then we in danger of looking to evil. As we keep our eyes on our good shepherd, we meditate on his Torah that lights our way. Then we shall have clear insight and understanding and be able to foresee evil and be on guard against such evil, whereas those who are not looking to the good shepherd and are not observing or paying attention to the word of Elohim or doing whatever is right in their own eyes. And therefore have eyes that are set on evil as opposed to eyes fixed upon the truth. That's what, you know, the church world is, they so want to be set on what their own eyes is looking at instead of what the Torah says to do and live a life according to. Understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes. You don't know that if you're not keeping the Torah. You don't know it. You're stuck in your ways. You're stuck in what, you know, you're looking through it through your fleshly eyes. We gotta get them spiritual eyes working. You know, Abraham, Pastor hit it hard last night about this hospitality. We gotta get that hospitality right. We gotta get hospitality right. You know, we're wondering, oh, where's the people? We're so few in number here. He's wanting to send them. He's right there waiting to send them. But we got to get hospitality right. That's what the Torah does. It shows you your imperfections. You know, we want to pick up who we want to pick up on side of the road. If they dress a little rough, we don't want to pick them up. Where's that hospitality at? Did Yeshua show that kind of hospitality? No. He showed hospitality like none to people he knew that was going to betray him. He still showed hospitality. He washed their feet, wiped their feet with the towel that was wrapped around them. Knew that they was going to do it, but still ate with them and everything. Still did it. He showed hospitality. We need to get our hospitality right. When we get that right, then be ready. Then be ready. Because then we're not going to be quick to judge with our eyes. We're going to see the good in people when they don't see the good in themselves. That we're going to see that. That's what I want. I asked for forgiveness this morning because that hospitality thing really got on me. Yeah, it did, if I'm honest. You know, I can't pick and choose who I want to show favor to because of the way they look or their background or what they did years ago. That's not right. Lord, help me to get my hospitality right, no matter what. Help me to see through the eyes that you see people through. You see what we don't see. We see the physical stuff. We see things that, you know, he sees past where they're at. The life they're living now. I'm so glad that he's seen past the life that I was living in. He's seen past that. So thankful that he did that. He didn't write me off, scratch a line through my name. No, he put a check mark by. I want to put a check mark by people's name. That's what I want to do. I want to put check marks by their name. Listen, hospitality. Sometimes you don't pray as hard as when the prayer requests come out and it's, you know, somebody who... You, not that you don't like them, but you just don't have strong feelings towards them. You don't pray as hard as what you pray for somebody who you love dearly. And that's not right. We need to pray the same way for that person, no matter if we see them, like them, love them, no different. That's a life. That's hospitality. That's the hospitality Abraham showed. Strangers. They sat by the tent of the door for strangers. Come in. Not only come in, let me wash your feet because they dirty and you've been traveling a long ways. I know they hurt. Hospitality. We got to get it right. This should be a clear wake-up call for us to see how things may sound correct and even at times may be written with the same letters, yet may cause us to look at what is wrong. Many of our Father's teachings and ways may sound good and true, yet when tested against the measuring stick of the Torah, listen, we don't test it with the world's measuring stick. We'll never get it right. We'll never get it right. You test it to the measuring stick of the Torah, we find the most of what we inherited was in fact and not good at all. That's what happens when you test it to the Torah. You see that it was not good. It's contrary to his word totally. Not good at all. And what we must learn is that corrupt practices spoil all relationships with Yehovah. Corrupt practices spoil all relationship with Yehovah. And we don't want our relationships spoiled. Because listen, he does not turn his face toward you. And in order for him to turn his face toward you, we got to measure it with the measuring stick of the Torah. We got to live with those right, living that boundary of those right rulings. Proverbs 28:5. Evil men do not understand right ruling, but those who seek Yehovah understand all. Those who seek Yehovah understand all. Doesn't he tell us that? He said, I will give you understanding surpasses all. All. But what we have to do, we have to seek him. We have to run towards him. We have to run towards him. Evil men are those who are not paying attention and observing and therefore dysfunctional. Those who are hearing but not understanding are not seeking. Those that are hearing but not understanding are not seeking. In other words, they are hearers only. And can you just be a hearer only? No, he says, hear, guard, and do. Shema, shamar, and do. Can't do one or the other. You can't just be a hearer. You have to guard it and do it. And Abraham did it. When Yehovah said go, he went. When he said leave everything, he left everything. When he said circumcised at 99, he circumcised at 99. He hear, he guarded, and he did it. And that's why he was blessed. That's why the favor of Yehovah was upon his life. Isaiah 6:9, and he said, go, and you shall say to this people, hearing you hear, but do not understand, and seeing you see, but do not know. Say to this people, we got believers that's hearing but don't understand. They seeing but do not know. Or seeing and they don't want to know. Whatever one they want to choose. The Hebrew word that is translated here as understand in Isaiah 6:9 is the same word used in Proverbs 28:5, which is the Hebrew word Ben, Strong's H995, meaning to discern, act wisely, consider carefully, and understand and perceive. We see this word Ben, Strong's H995, also being used in Psalms 119:34 and Psalms 119:104. Make me understand that I might observe your Torah and guard it with all my heart. That's what I'm doing. If you want to know what Pastor Josh is doing from here on out till he returns, I'm asking him to make me understand and observe his Torah, and I'm going to guard it with all my heart. I'm not going to compromise with nothing. I'm not going to have a debate over nothing that's not according to his Torah. I'm going to guard it with all my heart. Pastor Josh is all in. Just ask Pastor Nikki. Psalms 119, 104. For your orders, I get understanding. Therefore, I have hated every false way. We got to like what he like. We got to love what he love. And we got to hate what he hate. And he hates every false way. Everyone. We can't compromise with none of them false ways. None of them doctrines. Because he hates them. I hate them. He hates them. I hate them. That's when you're all in. When you're wishy-washy, you're compromised with them. But that's not what it means to me. Yeah, that's what it means. It's not what it means to you, but that's what it means to him. And he hates it, and I hate it. Proverbs 2, 4 through 5. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you would understand the fear of Yehovah and find the knowledge of Elohim. Listen, when you searching for something, if somebody says, if I got $1,000 hid somewhere, listen, you're not searching like this. Oh, well, yeah, maybe over here. No, you searching with urgency. You moving. You running. Listen, he says, you search for her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure. You got to give it your all when you're searching for his Torah, in his Torah. When you're searching for his understanding and to find his knowledge, you got to give it your all. You got to search for it with urgency. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of Yehovah is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the set apart one is understanding. Here, the Hebrew word that is translated as knowledge is da'af, Strong's H1847, and comes from the word used in Yeshayahu, Isaiah 6:9, for describing those who are seeing but do not know, which is the Hebrew word yadeh, Strong's H3045, meaning to know, Isaiah 6:9, and he said, go, and you shall say to this people, hearing you hear, but do not understand, and seeing you see, but do not know. Why you don't know? Because you're not searching as silver, as a hidden treasure. You're not searching. You're not seeking hard enough. That's why you don't know. He says, because when you do those, I give you knowledge. I give you understanding. You will know. I'm going to give it to you. Why I'm sharing all these references with you is simply to let us recognize the very clear words of Yeshua and Shaul that speak the same warnings and commands that we see in the Tanakh. We were just talking about that this morning. Yeah, I follow Yeshua. Well, are you doing what he doing? Are you doing what he does? Are you doing what he did? Well, I mean, not really, I guess, you know. Well, of course you're not. Because when he spoke the Torah. I was talking, I was so thankful for the teaching on understanding the words of Yeshua. Because when you do that teaching, you see every word that he spoke came from the Torah. Everyone. Every single word he spoke came from the Torah. It was not even mine. He says, my father's. It's my father's words, not even my words. Think about it. And that is to make sure we keep up a 2020 vision on the truth. You want a 2020 vision on the truth, because listen, you don't want to get nearsighted and you don't want to get farsighted of the truth. Because when you get nearsighted, you can't see. You don't want to go past the Torah. You can't see the truth for what it's for. You're nearsighted. That's not what that means. That's not what that say. But then that pendulum swing, You get farsighted, then you get way out there. Then where you start adding things like they did in Yeshua day. Huh? The scribes and the Pharisees, they were so holy. They added. They wanted, the Torah wasn't good enough for them. They wanted to add more stuff. They got farsighted. Then you had those that are nearsighted. No, we got to get our 20/20 vision on the truth. We got to get perfect sight. Perfect. Being awake and fixing our eyes front as we attentively give our ear to hearing and get understanding and keep our eyes to seeing so we can confidently know the truth. That's our 20/20 vision on the truth. That's what I want. I don't want to be nearsighted and I don't want to be farsighted when it comes to his word. Abraham ran to meet these three men. And the Hebrew word that is translated as ran comes from the root word roots, Strong's 87323, which means to run with speed, perform an action with a special focus that is done in a hurried manner. He performed an action. Because as soon as he got to him, what he did, he bowed and humbled himself right before. He ran with an action. This is a wonderful picture of urgency and a committed faith. Bearing in mind that he had recently been circumcised and was 99 years old. You ever seen a 99-year-old man run these days? I'm pretty sure they got a 99-year-old somewhere, but he ain't running really fast. There's not a lot of action. But he's moving. We got a lot of young men that ain't doing nothing. That's sitting idle. Huh? That's sitting idle. But here, Abraham was 99 years old after just being circumcised. But he was not going to let nothing stop him from his Yehovah moment. That's what I keep thinking about. He didn't even think about the circumcision. He ran. Ran this way, ran that way, ran that way. He ran three different directions. He just didn't run one time. He ran three times. Think about it. You're talking about a Yehovah moment. That's what it'll do to you. It'll make you run. Running to the word made flesh is the clear picture of how we are to run with perseverance. The race set before us, and run in his commands with urgency and great zeal. Run with a great zeal. Run with great passion. Put passion behind our running when we run into his commands. This got to mean something to you. His commands got to mean something to us. When it means something to you, that's when you run with great zeal. That's when you run with great passion, when it means something to you. Psalms 119:32. I run the way of your commands, for you enlarge my heart. You enlarge my heart. In the spiritual sense. Because listen, when you have an enlarged heart physically, that's complications. But when he enlarges your heart, you don't get tired. You don't get weary. You don't feel those things. When he enlarges your heart, You run with an urgency and great zeal. The Greek word that is used in the Septuagint, in Bereshit, Genesis 18:2 for ran, is prostreko. Prostreko. Pastor say that's it. Strong's G4370, which means to run to, running, and is constructed from two words, the pros. Strong's G4314, which is a primary preposition meaning advantages, far, at, denotes local proximity, toward, and denotes motion toward a place. And treco, Strong's G5143, which means run, exert oneself, strive hard. Spend one's strength in performing or obtaining something in its present continuous duty. Not means that it does not stop. It's continuous. Listen, When you run in this Torah, it's continuous. You don't stop running in it. You don't want to stop running in it. That's what I was feeling when I was talking this morning. It's not a doubt. It's not a thought in my mind to go back, to leave this. No, I'm running continuous in this thing. Nonstop. I'm not giving this up. To the end, endure. He that endured to the end shall be saved. I'm not in the end. This is not, I'm not finished. I didn't arrive yet. So to say I'm saved or safe, no, I got to continue running and for me to be saved at the end. The Greek word prostreko, Strong's G4370, is also used in Mark 10:17. And as he was setting out on the way, one came running and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit everlasting life?" Good teacher, what should I do to inherit everlasting life? Abraham was a righteous man. And this running of the righteous is a wonderful picture of urgency and committed faith. Running of the righteous is a wonderful picture of urgency and committed faith. You got to be committed. You got to be committed. You got to stay committed. Righteousness, as we know, is clearly defined for us in Deuteronomy 6:25. And it is righteousness for us when we guard to do all this command before Yehovah our Elohim, as he has commanded us. What is righteousness? When we guard to do all of it. When you have a desire to want to do all of it. This running of the righteous, which is a running in the way of the commands of Elohim, is also a personal responsibility. It's not your wife's responsibility. It's not your husband. It's not your mom and dad's. It's not the pastor's. It's yours. It's a personal responsibility. Listen, I can't run your race for you. They can't run that race for you. Yeshua can't run that race for you. But he ran it already for you. He done ran it for you already. Now it's up to you to run that race. He done ran it. What are you going to do? We got to run our own race. Personal responsibility. Nobody's fault when we're lacking or when we're slacking. It's because I'm not running with the urgency that I need to be running in. And that means that you have to run your own race. Nobody else can run it for you. But I can run it with you. I can't run it for you, but I can run it with you. I can show you that hospitality because I can be on the side of you, encouraging you, telling you, you can make it. Don't listen to what the naysayers are saying that you're too far gone. No, I ran this race. Let me get back in line with you because I'm going to tell you, you can make it. I'm going to run it with you. I can't run it for you, but I can be an encouragement to you and tell you you can make it. I can run it with you. This root word for running, run or running, also means to advance quickly in a military context and denotes the objective of our spiritual walk and race, which is to overcome obstacles for the sake of advancement unto spiritual maturity. Running with endurance is literally a persistent movement toward that spiritual maturity. If one is not guarding to do all the commands of Elohim, then one is not running and is clearly not a righteous one. Clearly not a righteous one, you're not running if you're not guarding all the commands. We are to run as if to win the prize. That means giving it our all. Listen, you don't run halfway if you know that's a prize at the end. No, you give it your all when you're doing something, when you're being a competitive. That's in anything you do. Listen, You don't participate to lose. Who signs up to lose? Oh, yeah, I'll play. I want to lose, though. No, I don't want to lose. I want to win. I always want to win. Always, literally, too. I always want to win. I never wanted to lose. I hated losing. Throw me the bomb. I'm always open, Scott. That's when I was a young one. I'm always open. Throw me the bomb. Nobody could never cover me. Yeah, okay. All right, Josh. Come back to earth. But listen, you got to run with our all. We got to run this race that we're running today with our all. Listen, and you know what's the best part about it? Is that when we're running with him, we don't lose. We never lose. We always win. We always win with him. Man, we ought to make every effort as a seasoned professional athlete would in running the righteous race amidst an unrighteous world. As a professional athlete, you know they train year long. Professionals train year long. I never ran track, but I watch it. The Olympics, you know, the Olympics is only a certain every 4 years or whatever. But you think that's the only time they practice when that year comes for them to perform? No, they practice all year long. How else you build up, stability and endurance and get the win you need to run to perform? You can't sit 3 years and come that 4 year. Okay, I'm gonna see what you gonna win. See what podium you gonna get on the bench. You ain't standing in 1, 2, 3, that's for sure. I can promise you. Season, like a seasoned athlete. We need to be seasoned athletes in this Torah all year long, getting it. Because never getting tired, never getting weary, full of stamina, full of it. At this point, let me ask you how you are doing in the race set before you. Don't answer that. I don't want to know right now. But think about it. That's for you to answer. You know. I don't know. I don't know because you can be fooling me, but you can't fool him. And you can't fool yourself. You can try to fool yourself, but deep down inside, you know. And let me tell you, the Torah will definitely let you know. I can promise you, the Torah will let you know. That's what I love about this. That's what I love about this Torah, his Torah. It lets me know my imperfection. It lets me know what I need to be working on. And that's what I want. I want to know. I want to know when I fall short. I want to know because I want to be better. I need to endure to the end. And without that, I can't do it. I can't do it, and I don't have the endurance. Listen, I don't have the power to do it by myself. Because if I did, I would have never failed years ago when I failed. We got to get this. We got to grab hold to this. Only by his Torah we have the stamina to keep going, to keep going. Are you growing in maturity or do you lack endurance as those weights and sin are slowing you down slowing you down, causing you to lose focus? That's what weight and sin does too. It causes you to lose focus. Remember the demonstration with Isaac and Eli? And Eli is fast. Putting those bricks on them that has sin written all over them. It weighed him down. He did not get very far. By the time Isaac got to the end, he was not even, I don't even think he might not even been halfway. I really don't think he was. Because that was a lot of weight. And that's what sin does tell you. You lose focus. You take your eyes off the prize. But he's telling us you got to get rid of that. He says, run the right race and stay in the race. Is the call being given to all believers? We got to run the right race and we have to stay in it. No matter how tough that we get, ourselves into, that we get ourselves into at times. It's not that he does it. He don't do it. This one don't do it. That one don't do it. I put myself in situations. Me. And it gets tough. But when you're running the race the right way, listen, when you're running, there's rules when you're running. You know, you can't just cross over in somebody's lane. That's a foul. I think they call that in track. You get dock points for that. There's rules. No different. We're going to run his race. There's rules. There's a right way to run this race. You can either run it right or you can even run it wrong. But I can promise you, you run it wrong, you ain't staying in it. You ain't staying in the race. We got to run it the right way. And his right way is according to his Torah. Plain and simple. That's the right way of his race. If we're going to run his race, we got to run it according to the Torah. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. We too then, having so great a cloud of witnesses all around us, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily entangles us. So easily. Anybody ever been so easily entangled? He pointed out good last night. Just like that. I can't really snap. But that fast. 1 week you could be singing praises, and the next week, like he said, you're singing some other song. You're giving praises to some other deity. And you don't know what happened. Somebody talk to you, I don't know what happened. I know what happened. You took your eyes off the prize. You took your eyes off the prize, and then you started running your own race with your own rules. Instead of running his race with his rules. That's what happened. And so easily got entangled. And listen, I don't care how hard you try, you cannot untangle it. It takes the spirit of Yehovah. It takes his set apart spirit to do the untangling. You can't untangle it. Never happened. You'll find yourself with a bigger knot. With you all wrapped up in it when you try to do it. But when you submit to him, when you surrender your all, and he does it perfectly. Perfectly. Listen, you get those minor filling strings, and you know sometimes when you get a couple of knots, it gets all, you know, gets curvy in it. It's not straight no more. He takes all that out. You're back perfect. Just like he commands you to do, to live. Live a perfect life. Entangles us, so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race set before us. Listen, church, we got a race set before us. And we got to run it. And we can't get weary in well doing. Now's not the time for us to try to, you know, not run as hard as listen, we ran hard when we ran. I did. I ran hard on the streets I ran. On that race I was running. I could care less what somebody say about me. But somewhere, somehow, when I'm running this race, like, I got to worry about what people are saying. That it should bother me. I could care less. It ain't going to bother me. It used to bother me. Till I got a hold of this. It don't bother me no more. You can say what you want and do what you want. I'm running this race according to the Torah. Because when I was running that other race, I could care less what you thought. I could care less. People said some crazy stuff. Hurtful stuff. More hurtful than worrying about, oh, y'all can't do nothing at that church. Really? You ought to come to this church and see how much we do. The weeks of celebrating. Weeks. You get a day here and there for man's tradition. I get weeks of Yehovah stuff. I get weeks. You get a day here and there. He blesses me with weeks of celebrating. Think about that. Yeah, I'll trade that right now. I love celebrating weeks. But that's running his race. Looking to the princely leader and perfecter. He ran his race. That's how he got to be the princely leader and perfecter of it. Because he done ran it. And he ran it with perfection. He ran it perfectly. He ran it without compromise. He ran it without debate. He ran it without swaying to the left or to the right. Never, never got off course. Yeshua never got off course. Not one time in his life that he was on the face of this earth. Not one time. Not one day, one second. In the garden, Father, not my will, but thou will. If you want it to happen, I'm a run it. He ran it all the way to the death of on the stake. Think about that. What we dying to? What are we dying to? What are we giving up? We got to give up some man's traditions? That's the only thing we got to give up? Or we got to give up some ways that we think we should answer people or talk to people? We got to give up those things? Because, yeah, we got to give up those things. Because we can't say what we want to say just because we can say it. Think about it. Where's our hospitality? Where's our hospitality? Looking to the princely leader and perfecter of our belief, Yeshua, who for the joy, how he found joy in that, I have no idea. But he did. He found joy that was set before him, enduring the state. He found joy in it. Because he knew. He knew one Shabbat, he'll see Brother Rob. He'll see Brother Jonathan. He'll see Pastor. He'll see Brother Preston, Sister Lois, Pastor Charlotte, Isabella, Scott, Becky. He seen that. That brought him joy. He says, Father, I see it. They're gonna get it right. They're going to run a race. And they're going to endure to the end. I see it. That's what brought him joy. He seen it. He did it for Yeshua died for the whole entire world. Think about it. The world. That brought him joy to endure. That was set before him, endured the stake, having despised the shame. And sat down at the right hand of the throne of Elohim. He seen the end. He seen the prize at the end. I'm only going to close my eyes for 3 days. But then when he raised me up, he's going to set me above all names, above all power and principality. The name above all names. Think about it. He seen that prize. He knew what his prize was at the end. Listen, and we have that same prize waiting for us at the end. Should this race that we're running bring us joy? Absolutely, it should bring us joy. No matter what we're going through, it should bring us joy because we know at the end, when he returns to raise us up, it should bring us that same joy that it brought Yeshua HaMashiach. It should bring us that same joy. The Greek word treko, Strong's G5143, is used in Hebrews 12:1, which highlights our call to run with endurance. We are told to be looking to Messiah, look to our princely and our perfecter. And as we can see from the verse before this one, is that in order to be able to properly look at Messiah, we need to throw off and lay aside every weight and sin that easily entangle us and run with endurance. We can't hold on to nothing. We got to easily throw it aside. Looking intently at our King as we run faithfully as servants of the Most High Elohim. Run faithfully as servants of the Most High. Many are trying to run, yet find themselves getting tired and unable to endure the hardships and persecutions that comes as a result of set-apart living. What was the result for set-apart living? Persecutions and hardships. You're going to have them. People going to talk about you. They're going to persecute you. They're not nailing nails in your hand, but those words are tearing you up. They're persecuting you by what they say. Y'all going to church on a Saturday? A Friday? We go on Sunday. The whole world goes on Sunday. What are y'all doing? Y'all keeping all these, all these feast days. Y'all keeping Passover? Y'all keeping those feast days? Y'all keeping Sukkot? Y'all playing in a tent for 7 days? What? Because that's my Yehovah moment. You think I'm not going to sit in that tent, by the door of that tent, and wait for him? Abraham was at the door of what? A tent. I'm going to be in my tent for 7 days waiting for my Yehovah moment. Just like my father Abraham was. Waiting. In the heat of the day. Loving the sun. Enjoying it, he said he was. Enjoying it. Loving it. Yeah. Persecution. Yes. Yes. That's what set-apartness brings. Hardships and persecution. Did Yeshua set-apartness bring him hardships and persecution? He was disliked everywhere he went. Everywhere he went, he was disliked. But did it stop him from going? That's the ticket. No. It gave him momentum to want to go. To want to go. Not because, you know, I'm going to show them. That's not why he showed them. He showed them because it was his hospitality. It was the love of his father. He was showing them the goodness of Yehovah. That's what he was doing. He didn't care. I'm going. I'm still going. I know you don't like me, but I'm still coming. I'm still going. I showed up at a party, snuck around in the back, and then I stood up and read. If any man thirsts, let him come to me. Hallelujah. Hardships and persecutions that come as a result of set apart living amidst a crooked generation. The question that you need to ask yourself as you take an eye test, so to speak, is what are you looking at? What are we looking at? Are you looking at Messiah? Are we looking at Messiah? If we're looking at him and we got our eyes focused on him, how can you go wrong? How can you go wrong? If you got your eyes focused on him. Because you know what his eyes was focused on? Pleasing the Father. His eyes was focused on pleasing the Father and not pleasing man. He can care less what man think. He could have care less what his disciples thought. All what mattered to him was what his Father thought of him. And that's all what needed matters to us, is what Yehovah thinks of us. Not what this crooked generation think of us. Not what this world think of us, what you think of us, Father. That's what matters. Right here. And this right here tells me how, what if I'm doing this, this tells me what you think of me. This tells me what you think of me. The Greek word that are used here for our Messiah or Prince, Erechegos. Strong's G747, translated as prince, captain, chief leader, and author, and describes one that takes the lead in anything and thus affords an example, a predecessor, in a matter, a pioneer. Think about that. The prince is one that takes the lead in anything And Yeshua took the lead in anything. He took it. Because he knew that his father was right there with him. He wasn't taking it by himself. He knew Yehovah was with him in everything he did. The perfecter. Telethotase, Strong's G5051. This is the only place this Greek word and denotes a finisher, completer, perfecter, and describes one who has in his own person raised faith to its perfection, and so set before us the highest example of faith. Not even Abraham. He says the highest example of faith, Yeshua HaMashiach, said that. Because listen, you got to have faith to know that you're going to die and your father's going to raise you up at the exact time that he said. Not a minute, not a day, not a second passed than when he said, I'm going to raise him up in 3 days. 3 days to the second. You talking about faith. What in the highest example of faith? This is a description given only to Yeshua Messiah, who has become the supreme model for us to follow. He comes the supreme model. The only one we need to follow is him. Walk in his footsteps. The Greek word that is translated as looking is Strong's G872. It means to look, to turn eyes away from all other things and fix them on something or someone. I just added that because that someone is Messiah. I'm going to fix my eyes on, I'm going to turn it away from all other things and I'm going to fix it on him. If I'm going to mimic anybody's life, I'm going to mimic his. That's the life I want to mimic. When you're young, you know, you watch movies and, well, you act out that person. Well, sometimes you think you want to be that person. Whether it was a good boxing movie, Rocky, whatever, you know, Chuck Norris, karate. Some of us like the cowboys, you know, that's the older folks. You know, you want to act that person out, you know, it just does something to you. But what about his life? What he did, huh? That ought to do something to you. That ought to really move you to want to act out his life. But you can't act out his life the way you want to act out his life and think that it's okay. No, you got to act it out according to the Torah, according to the life that he lived. He lived his life according to the Torah. You following him? Yes, I'm following him. Okay, are you saying what he's saying? Are you doing what he's doing? Well, no, you're not then. You're not mimicking his life. You're not saying what he's saying. You're not doing what he's doing because he did it according to the Torah. To look, to turn eyes away from all other things and fix them on something. Metaphorically speaking, it means to fix the mind upon, give full attention, look intently upon, to take heed. And it also means to consider carefully, attentively, look at. And comes from the two Greek words, apo, Strong's G575, which is a preposition and participle that means from, away from, at, in, and to. And Horeo, Strong's G3708, which means to see, perceive, attend to, take heed, see with the mind, beware, to see as in becoming acquainted with by experience. To see as in becoming acquainted with by experience. We are to look to Messiah and carefully consider our ways. Think about it. We ought to look at Messiah and carefully consider our ways. Are my ways lining up with his ways? And we are at the same time to ensure that our eyes are not looking elsewhere as we take heed of the corrupt teachings of man-made dogmas and traditions that lead people astray. What is it doing? What is it doing? It's leading people astray. Listen, not by the tens, not by the hundreds, by the thousands. The dogma, man-made tradition, are leading people astray by the thousands. Abraham ran with a purpose to meet with Yehovah. And the Hebrew word that is translated as to meet is the word gerah. Strong's 87125, which means to befall, to encounter, to meet and seek. It is a wonderful picture of our ability to run to Elohim and encounter his word that strengthens us in the promise of being filled with his righteousness. It's a promise that I will fill you with my righteousness. When we earnestly hunger and thirst for it, running after him to meet him is one that we can be assured of. Listen, and encounter his word. Let me tell you, when this Torah encounters you, what an encounter. You'll never forget it. You'll never forget that encounter. Listen, we have to embrace that encounter. Embrace it. Proverbs 7:15, therefore I came out to meet you, to earnestly seek your face, and I found you. Abraham bowed himself to the ground, expressing true reverence for Yehovah. True reverence. The phrase, and bow himself, is written in the Hebrew, Vayishtahu, which is based on the root word shakha, 87815, and it means to bow down, to prostrate oneself before another, to humbly beseech, to do or show reverence, and to do or show obeisance. When was the last time we did that? That we prostrated ourselves before him? When we humbly besieged ourselves before him. This root word is used in Nehemiah when Israel had assembled and confessed their sins. And after hearing the Torah for a fourth part of the day, they spent another fourth part of the day confessing and worshiping. After hearing the Torah for a fourth part of the day, they spent the rest of the day confessing and worshiping. Worshiping being translated from the root word shaha. Think about it. So listen, after hearing the Torah this morning, spend the rest of the day confessing and worshiping him, thanking him for this opportunity that he gave us to hear this word this morning. Thank him for hearing, getting this opportunity for letting us hear it to where it'll point out my imperfections or what I need to work on the rest of the day, and giving him praise for it. Nehemiah 9:3, and they stood up in their place and read from the book of the Torah of Yehovah the Elohim a fourth part of the day, and a fourth part they were confessing and worshiping Yehovah the Elohim. They stood up to hear the Torah and then bowed in worship and confession before Yehovah. The Hebrew word that is translated as confessing is yada, Strong's 83034, and literally means to throw, shoot, or cast, to confess, laud with praise, extol, example, i.e., make a public confession of the attributes and acts of power of a person. Yada in practice would be to lift my hands in gratitude and thanks, expressing a surrendering of self totally unto Yehovah as well as openly, and confessing our shortcomings before him. Both of these words, confessing and worshiping, are used here in the hip pill form, which expresses the reflexive action in response to a true relationship with the Creator and Redeemer, Yehovah of hosts. Expresses a true relationship. And it's in a response to a true relationship with the Creator. With Abraham, this word for Baal is also written in the hip-pill form, expressed the reflexive action in response to coming before Yehovah, revealing the depth and intimate relationship he had with Elohim. It's revealing the depth and intimate relationship. That was Genesis 2. We did 2 verses. Let's go to 3, because how many? I got about 5, huh? Oh, 9? Oh, man, we got time. I'm glad Sister Casey didn't want to sing this morning. She gave me some extra time. Genesis 18:3. And said, Yehovah, if I have now found favor in your eyes, please do not pass your servant by. This is good stuff right here. Because it's about to break down this favor and grace for us. And how people twist this thing to, you know, like it gave them a license to keep doing what they're doing. Verse 3, if I have found favor in your eyes, please do not pass your servant by. This is such a powerful expression of humility and expectation of a faithful servant who meditates day and night on the word and fix their eyes on the truth, giving no room for the lust of the eyes. Abraham does not presume to have a right for Yehovah and the two messengers to come in and dine with him. He didn't presume that he had the right for them to come in and do it. He showed humility. He showed hospitality. He didn't presume. You know, it was like, oh, I'm Father Abraham. You know, I did all what you asked me to do at 75. And then at 99, I took it a step higher. That didn't get, you know, he didn't think that way. He didn't put that kind of thinking on. We think like that. We think like that. You know? I'm wearing zitzits. I'm keeping feast days. I'm keeping Shabbat. We presume stuff like that. But we got to watch ourselves. Don't get caught up in that. That so easily entangles us. He did not assume that Yehovah would just pitch up and come to him because he has been faithful. Here is a cry of a humble man of faith who earnestly desires to have the presence of Yehovah abide with him and does not for one moment think that he can or has the right to demand the presence of the Master Yehovah. Think about that. Do we have the right to demand that? No. It's an honor. It's a privilege when he graces with his presence. It's an honor to come on Shabbat and feel his presence. It's not a demand. We need to humble ourselves and thank him that he so saw fit to grace us with his presence. Not nothing we did. We can't do enough for him. We can't do enough for him. He done did it all for us. We would do well to maintain the same attitude. Always, as we often see many who arrogantly think that they have the right to demand Yehovah to show up. Think that we got the right to demand him to show up at their prayer meetings or gatherings based on their self-assumed acts of righteousness. We got to watch that self-righteousness. You know, think that he owes this to me. He don't owe me nothing. He don't owe me to touch my body when I'm sick. He don't owe me that. No, I'm thankful for when he do it. I'm thankful for when he heals me. I'm thankful for when he touched one of my loved ones' lives. He don't owe that to me. What he done, what he gave already, he don't need to give nothing no more. He gave his all. When was the last time I gave him my all? When was the last time he woke me up in the middle of the night for me to go pray, but instead I tossed and turned till I fell back asleep? Or he woke me up in the middle of the night to go read just a little bit. Just go read a chapter because there's a verse. I want to show you a verse. Give me 15 minutes of sleep. When was the last time I gave him that? When he gave me his all. And I'm going to demand things from him? I'm going to demand healing? I'm going to demand blessings? I better check my demanding and start demanding myself a little bit to give him more. With my self-righteousness self. The Hebrew word that is translated as favor comes from the root word chane, Strong's H2580. Which means grace, adornment, favor, gracious. It comes from the primitive root verb hanan, Strong's H2603, meaning show favor, to be gracious to, dealt graciously with, and given to them voluntarily. Shown favor. These two words are collectively used 141 times in the Tanakh. The word which we often translate it as grace, meaning unmerited favor, is often misunderstood. In Hebrew, from the word chesed, Strong's H2617, which means goodness, kindness, deeds of devotion, and faithfulness, and appears 248 times in the Tanakh, Old Testament, five more times than the Greek word translated as grace in the Renewed Covenant, the New Testament. In Hebrew, the concept of hen and hesed goes hand in hand in understanding our loving relationship with Yehovah. It goes hand in hand in our loving relationship. Hen can best be described as a gracious and favorable action, passing from a superior to an inferior. Passing from who? A superior to an inferior, and is an action that cannot be forced upon or demand. Grace cannot be forced upon or demanded. He don't owe you that. Us, not just y'all, me too. This in many ways carries the same concept of the Christian idea or concept of grace, as understood through the Greek word chaisi, Strong's G5485, meaning grace, kindness, blessing, and favor. You know, that's, they think that, you know, with this grace, I'll stop right here, 1 minute, that he, you know, he's going to give it to me. You know, if I'm going to slip up a little bit, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to get off track. But his grace got me. No, you're demanding that. And it's not a demand. You can't demand that. Grace, kindness, blessing, and favor. We'll stop right there. We'll pick back up Wednesday. Just hold on to your ZZs to Wednesday. Who's enjoying this? I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I'm so thankful. So thankful for his Torah. I'm so thankful that it shows me my imperfections. I'm so thankful that it showed me that I need to work on my hospitality. So thankful for that. I don't get to pick and choose who I pray for or who I need to pick up on the side of the road or all those things, who I need to invite to my house. I don't get to pick and choose those things. What if them coming, that That moment with you is that Jehovah moment for them. What about that? Do you want to miss that? I don't want to miss that. And I want to run his race with urgency. And I want to run his race with endurance. And I want to run it according to his rules. That's how I want to run this race, according to his rule, not by the rules of the world, not by the measuring stick of the world, by the measuring stick of this Torah. That's how I want to run. Amen. He's so good to us. Let's stand.